The following program contains material of a sensitive nature. It includes discussions related to suicide and mental health that may be triggering to some viewers. We encourage you to take care while watching. If needed, pause, step away, or seek support. Viewer discretion is advised. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to Empowering Bites. This is where we keep it short and sweet. But who is the we? Well, the we is me, Nkechi, and
I'm Gabby with 1B, pleased to be the co-host of these Empowering Bites where we keep it short and sweet.
E to the A to the B to the what? Mamone! That is Gabby 1B Mamone. Let's go, girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans, and welcome to another episode of Empowering Bites, where I am joined by Gabby 1B, Mamore! Yay!
Out of all the episodes we've done, never the same intro ever.
I don't know. I at some point or other, my originality is going to like wear out.
But I love it.
We've done like a lot of episodes.
We have.
So that must be a lot of different intros. Yes. We might have to just do like an intro episode.
That's where funny.
Just, like, yeah. Flip them all. So what are we talking about today?
If your younger self could see you now.
Oh my gosh, she'd be beaming.
She would be beaming?
Yeah, she'd be beaming.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. I want to know. Like, we want to know, right? We want to know.
Yeah, because, do I have Kleenex? No. I think she'd be beaming because I think what she would tell me is you've taken everything that I had to endure and you've made it matter. Mm. And, you know, to change the world, right? And so, therefore, I can release the shame. I can release the sadness. I can release the, you know, the misfortune that I felt because I've seen the blessing that has come from it. I think that's what she would tell me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You're about to cry.
Well, you know what it is yeah, you can see that. You know what it is because
I'm about to cry.
Yeah, because when we look at our childhood, we were so different and we were so naive in many ways.
Yeah.
And we need mentors and we need lessons. And yeah, when I think about, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about a particular story and it changed me. And we were different back then. And when I look at you now, yes, you've done so much. And, and if you never felt like you mattered, not only did you kibosh that, but you're making other people feel like they matter. Mm-hmm. That's the most beautiful thing you can do as a servant in life. Mm-hmm.
You know, what made me cry? Mm. And you wouldn't know this. I don't think I've ever shared this publicly. Mm. There was a time I wanted to take my life.
Oh.
Yeah.
How old were you?
Oh, God, I would have been, I knocked down the Kleenex that I need. I would have probably been maybe 16, 17. No, actually later. Because I know what stopped me. And so that person didn't come into my life until after 18. So I was probably, I don't think I was over 20, but I was getting there. And And that was just pent up, like, just pent up stuff that I didn't know how to process, you know what I mean? And just not feeling good enough or valued. And I'm so happy I didn't. Ugh.
We're all so happy that you didn't. I need to hold you for this one because I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners there that have been through similar moments. And are meeting you where you were once at. Mm-hmm. But clearly you did some kind of a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. And so how did you get from there to here?
Oh, gosh. Well, I had a great friend that prevented it from going through, you know. and I never tried again, you know? And I think that after that, I still probably didn't deal with it, but I shoved it down. It wasn't until I was like in my 40s, right? Like, if you think about that, like I doubled down and just kind of started to just live life and do really, really well. And I think that that's just from like upbringing, from being disciplined and all this, any other. But it wasn't until like I was 42 when I actually did the work. Like I did the work, you know, it's called therapy.
Yes. Highly recommend
it. And it's looking at yourself, and looking at your experiences. And that's why she'd be so proud, because I was able to come around and start to look at those experiences from a place of love, not from a place of lack, you know, and then start to use them for good, to help others. And that's why I think it makes me really emotional when I think about, and I talk about identity, and I talk about like you matter, and I talk about empowerment, like, you know, and I'll use the word because it's very rare I use it, pisses me off when people just discard people or are very dismissive about just how their actions can affect other people, because there's a downstream impact to that, right? So and that's why I constantly challenge, especially leaders with, you know, that are in rooms as a leader, like a title leader, that it is incumbent on you to know that the scent that you leave in that room is either going to make or break another individual, not only in that moment, but in the downstream moment, meaning they are going to go on to another experience, and how you left them there is going to influence that other experience, which means that it's going to touch somebody else. And so what's the chain reaction that you are creating?
And one thing you just said was, in a roundabout way, was leaving people in a position of increase.
Well,
this is one of my favorite sayings.
That you gave that to me.
One of my favorite sayings. Would you say, Ink, that it felt like your setback became your setup point?
I mean, I think later on, I think there's other things. Like, I think that, like, so for example, I'm coming through my hip journey. I think this is a setup for a comeback, right? Like but I think that in that early time, I think that very first, realization that a lot of my life and how I was living it and what I was experiencing was pent up trauma.
Okay.
I don't know that at that point that was definitely it happened.
Yeah.
To get me to a place, I think, that when the next setback happened, I knew that I would be able to get through it, and it was a setup for, if that makes sense.
Like, yes, it does.
That's kind of, yeah. So I don't think my younger life journey was that, but I think that coming and understanding that then positioned me to know that any time I have a setback, it is a set up for something great.
Yes, yeah. I love that. So because the topic today is if our younger selves could see us now, yes. What would you say is a personality trait that you actually did have when you were younger that really amplified as you blossomed into the beautiful woman that you are today?
And you share too, right? Sure. I so many, like I realized my sense of community. So, and I'll tell you just a really quick story. I was the one that initiated our 18th year high school reunion. Even though I was bullied, like, you know what I mean? Like, I went through my younger life being bullied and stuff like that. But I remember at the event, some people were like, of course it was going to be Nkechi that did it. And in my head, I was thinking, but you all were like, I thought I wasn't enough. And so there was a true line there that I didn't have cliques. I was friends with the nerds. I was friends with the jocks. I was, you know, I kind of was friends with the middle groups. And so it was just this ability to bring people together. I think there's that. I think my laugh is very contagious, right? I've had it my entire life, right? And I think that there was an inner joy that people always felt from being around me.
Okay.
But it wasn't until I did the inner work to actually separate it that I actually started to enjoy my joy.
Okay, that's fascinating. Yeah.
And you?
Well, for me, this may surprise you, but because I love people, most people think I'm an extrovert.
Yes.
Growing up, I was an introvert. Today, I consider myself to be an ambivert.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I love people. I love community. I'm out there. I go to events. I love speaking on stages and chatting. My name is Gabby.
Gabby. Yes, just gonna
named appropriately. What is important for me is downtime and alone time and time for me to be in my own head and in my own space. And my younger self will thank me for recognizing that because I remember being young, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6, 7, and my parents desperately wanted me to play the piano. Mm-hmm. And I was taking piano lessons and I was decent, right? Mm-hmm. And they had me enrolled in the Kiwanis Festival, which mm-hmm. is a festival for
There's
pianists.
There's ice cream called Kiwanis.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. No,
for those of you, it's a community.
Yeah. And so basically I knew the piece at home, mm-hmm. but the moment that I would go into that theater and look out into the audience and see everybody's eyes looking at me and I would look back at the piano, I would freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I would freeze. I would forget. I would get nervous. I would start saying, I'm not good enough. Why am I here? Why am I being pushed? And year after year, they pushed me, my parents. And year after year, I couldn't get past maybe the first few bars. Mm. Whereas at home, I was very proficient in playing mm-hmm. Bach's song or Mozart songs. And so the reason why I share this is because I remember feeling like I was less than.
Yeah.
What am I doing here? Mm-hmm. What am I here to prove? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had a breaking moment, actually. One of the issues that I was facing was my fingers would become so cold, mm-hmm. like freezing, frigid cold. And so when I was maybe around 10, my mom in the audience pulled out red gloves.
Yes, I remember you.
Yeah?
You told me the story once.
Yes, yeah. So she gave me these red gloves to wear. And she said, you're going to wear them right up until you get to the piano. And they called my name. I walk up the stage. I sit at the piano. People are probably wondering, how do you play the piano with red gloves? But at that moment, I took it off and I got through the piece. Now, I didn't place, but that was okay.
Yeah.
Because for me, oh, I won.
Yeah, yeah.
I won because I got through the darn song. Yeah. And so when I look back, my younger self will thank me for mm-hmm. recognizing that it's okay to be pushed and it's okay to find ways to have you feel like mm-hmm. you belong and you can do mm-hmm. this. So now as an adult, I truly am here to serve and support people. And kindness is such a big part of my life. And if I can help people feel better mm-hmm. and share their message with the world, then that is what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And it might be provocative, so a little bit of permission.
Go ahead.
So your younger self would never have known that you were going to have to face a journey of MS.
Never.
What would she say?
Oh. When I was diagnosed at the age of 30, I jumped on the pity bandwagon of, why me? I'm a good person. I help people. I'm kind. Why? And the symptoms that I faced when I was in my 20s were actually like debilitating. I couldn't walk some days. I lost my peripheral vision. I had spasticity and tingling and incontinence. You know, imagine being in school and you had issues going to the bathroom. Like it was just degrading. Like I was disappointed. However, I go back to my red glove story and it's like, I can overcome this. Mm-hmm. What is my purpose? Why am I given these cards? Mm-hmm. So I turned why me into why not me, got off that pity bandwagon and made a difference and in other people's lives who are also diagnosed, who are also impacted by any neurological or disability or anything. And so I think that's really what it comes down to is recognizing our younger selves and where we're at today.
And
we
you
could go on
changed
and on.
So many people's lives as a result of how you're going through this journey. And I'm just so grateful.
Aww.
Grateful.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm so grateful for you too.
And so to anyone that's listening, I think if I had to leave you with a couple of things, I think that your younger self needs you sometimes to celebrate them you know, maybe you can get into the habit of doing it in front of the mirror. Mm-hmm. You have to brush your teeth every single morning. It's a perfect time to acknowledge and listen to what they're telling you, because that should help to continue to push you forward. And so, Gabby, I appreciate this episode with you. I didn't know that it would go the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable. And thank you for holding space for mine.
Thank you. Thank you as well. It was lovely.
And while we'd love to go on, we can't. And this is where I say I'm Ink.
And I'm Gabby with 1B.
And we're out.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.